Hey, honey. Hey.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking. We're going up through the quad to the gymnasium.
Who's streaking?
There's more coming.
Frank, get in the car.
Everybody's doing it.
Now.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the inaugural, maybe, podcast for D-Rays Bay. This is Jason Collette joining us tonight. Bradley Woodrum, Kevin Gengler, and Eric Hammond. Tonight we're going to talk about just a few things as we give this nice software a good test drive. We're going to open up talking about winning, which is a nice change of pace, the Sam Fold mania, and then lastly some of the prospects as Kevin tells us why Jose Lobaton needs to make the team right now. So, gentlemen, first off, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Jason.
Hey, this is, you know, it's actually nice to be talking about winning. You know, I do a few different radio things around, and all everybody wanted to talk about was losing and whether I was going to jump off the Skyway Bridge. And, you know, I'm not going to drive all the way over to St. Pete to jump off the bridge. I can just, you know, go somewhere here in Orlando to do that. But, you know, just my thoughts, winning's nice, especially when you, I don't care if it's a two-game series, a sweep is a sweep, especially when your brother's favorite team is the Red Sox. So I'm calling this a sweep, and it's good times. What about you guys?
I'm pretty excited. You know, that's the thing. The Rays are coming back to Tampa with a 3-3 road record. And so that's not a bad thing at all. I mean, the Rays really have to look at it like they're starting the season over at this point because they got to work their way back up to 500. But they're really, honestly, only four games behind the Orioles right now, and the Orioles are losing tonight. So, I mean, they're still in the thick of things, really.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, too worried about Baltimore. You know, it's, you know, we're three games behind, you know, New York and Toronto. That's the key thing, I think. But, winning's great and everything, but if we lose tomorrow night, the fans will just turn on them again.
Fair weather fans in this market? Shocking.
Yeah.
Cam, what about you?
Yeah, it's definitely nice to win, especially in Boston. And, you know, we avoid Shields with the rain out tonight, which was good. But I don't even know. I haven't looked forward to it. Who's the next series against?
The Twins. We got four games. Liriano went today, so he's off the book. So it's going to be Blackburn, Baker, Dunsing, and Pavano for this series.
Those are definitely some pitchers we can hit, especially, you know, they're not big strikeout guys. You know, the Twins never really are. So we should definitely, hopefully, get the offense continue to go.
Yeah, you would hope. You know, as Hanselman pointed out in his article, we're not making too much contact this year so far. So I was quite happy that Francisco Liriano was pitching today, so he avoids the series.
Certainly.
And more than that, yeah. I'm sorry. But more than that, he's coming back to Tropicana Field, where he's had a lot of problems in Fenway, where it really can be homer happy in that stadium. And coming back to Tropicana, where it depresses the home runs a little bit, that definitely helps Shields out a lot.
Yeah, there was a time, you know, last year was the first time that Shields actually won a start in Fenway. He was 0-7. I think he won his last start last year. And, I mean, we'll remember that house of horrors. There were some times where he couldn't get out of the third inning. There was, of course, the big blow-up with Coco Crisp and whatnot. So I know people wanted to really get their hacks on Lackey while he's stinking up the joint right now. But at the same time, you know, I'd rather have Shields pitch at home because, you know, the good news is you're coming home, as one of you guys said earlier, you're coming home off a 3-3 road trip when you left 0-5. So you left Tropicana Field in the worst mood and situation possible, and now you're coming back with a lot of good vibe and good energy coming into a four-game series now, and that's a lot better than what it looked like when these guys hopped on the plane to fly up north.
Mm-hmm. My only concern is I think after the Twins we play Chicago, and for some reason they always seem to give us trouble, especially, you know, Danks and Burley, obviously.
Yeah, they're definitely the next ones to come in. They come in, I believe, they got a four-game series as well. So we were lucky enough to miss Burley the first time around. I don't know if that's going to happen the second time around. I haven't seen how the schedule lines up. My big concern there is the running game. We saw Šopek actually threw out two guys in the final game of that series, but until those two guys got thrown out, I looked it up. We were Jaso and Šopek were something like three of their last 28 in throwing guys out, and you know, Jeff Niemann was a big part of that problem.
Yeah, you know, they're gonna treat us like we do to Boston. You know, just run because I don't know. Niemann can't keep anyone on, and we can't cuff anyone out. And they're just going to go with LA, Beckham and Ramirez and, you know, they're all going to get Canerco and could even take one off of him, I think.
Well, you know, Billy Butler tried to steal a base this week for the Royals, so if he can run, I guess Paul Konerko can try a stolen base. But today, you know, Juan Pierre, you know, thank God for Juan Pierre. Otherwise, I don't know if we would have got win number one. But the guy's had a hell of a week because he dropped another ball the other day. He bobbled one today when the White Sox lost again. He's had 8 stolen base attempts. He's been caught in half of them. So if it wasn't for him, maybe B.J. Upton would be getting the attention because of his 3 caught steals. But Pierre was thrown out twice today. I don't think that's ever happened. But he's had quite an interesting week with 3 caught stealings and 3 errors this week.
He hasn't really gotten much help from his pitching either, with Sale and Thornton at the back end of that bullpen. It's been dreadful.
Yeah, Sale and Thornton, they're talking about maybe Sergio Santos getting the next shot at the closer, even for a day or two to give those other guys a break. That would kind of suck for us, given how good Sergio Santos has thrown against the Rays in the past. Which was stink, but at the same time, their bullpen's a mess. Somebody said they're the most frustrating 7-4 team in baseball right now, and they're 7-5 now. I would kill to be 7-5. There's bigger problems to have.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Bigger problems to have. Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, the Texas, it's the same thing. They've lost 2 games in the ninth without using Neftali Feliz.
Oh, that's because Ron Washington's an idiot.
That's a little more simple.
It's just with him, I looked at there a day. I think that Feliz has thrown all but 5 innings in his career in non-save situations. As Ron Washington the other day made it, they were up 9-5 in the ninth inning. He brought Feliz in and he made some kind of comment and said, "Hey, that appearance was for those guys who say I only use Feliz in non-save situations." I'm like, dude, you just don't get it. You know, they lost 2 games in a tied inning, the ninth game. And they have they lose Darren O'Day on the mound one time and Darren Oliver to the next. I mean, Darren Oliver's supposed to be their loogie, and he goes out and gives a home run to Brandon Inge as he did today. So it's even the Ranger fans are starting to get frustrated with Ron Washington and his bullpen management.
Rob Neyer actually made a comment during the offseason just a little while ago about how really doesn't always matter how much the pieces that you have in your bullpen, it really matters about how it's managed. And I think that's been a huge boon to the Rays for the past couple of years, is how Joe Maddon seems to be really smart about how he uses the bullpen. There was a little bit of discussion about how he used Pinheiro, mm-hmm. not Pinheiro.
Peralta?
Peralta, thank you.
Yeah.
Peralta the other night. But still, I mean, there's very few marks against him in using the bullpen. He tends to be very efficient and very wise about how he uses the bullpen. And as a result, this Rays bullpen's actually been pretty good going into this year, even though it's not really, it's been sort of a scary point for a lot of fans and gurus out there.
Yeah, I thought, you look the other night, I mean, Peralta and Farnsworth, he's used some of them sometimes in the seventh, sometimes in the eighth, sometimes in the mm-hmm. ninth inning. So he's used them all over the place. And, so far the one Achilles heel everybody thought we were going to have has been good. Eric, you had something to say on this?
Well, not for our team, but just, with Wheeler now, you can just, tell how different, we manage, guys than, say, Austin does. Wheeler's been getting, crushed up there because, because he's faced, left-handers who kill him, and I don't know why that's so hard. Francona's been killing the team.
Yeah, I think some of that, like the other night, I think Francona looked and said, "Okay, this game's lost. We just need somebody to come in here and pitch a little bit." Because I was surprised that he was left in. But
a week ago, Wheeler came in tie game. I didn't get it. 4 lefties in a row.
Well, yeah, it almost feels like Dan Wheeler's status as a rookie, as a right-handed only guy, is somehow only known to Rays fans or something, because we have so many guys who come in and out of the Rays bullpen who get these very specific usage that it seems like other teams don't realize that's how we're using them.
Yeah,
and then they go and employ them.
Would be
way.
One team who would Boston would be one team that would know that, right?
You would think, but then again, I mean, they're letting Carl Crawford hit leadoff against left-handed pitching. So if they're ignoring something that blatantly obvious that the stats say, good God, don't do this, that maybe that kind of explains why they're letting Dan Wheeler face left-handed pitching in key situations.
Yeah.
More than right-handed this year, yeah.
It's just one of those crazy things. But, you know, even crazier is Sam Fuld. How do you as bad as the whole Manny situation was with him going out, if it's not for Manny, you know, doing what he did, would we ever have seen what Sam Fuld had done over the last few days?
Certainly not.
It's really crazy.
Go ahead.
Bradley? Go.
Okay, sorry. It is really crazy. I followed Sam Fuld back in Chicago when he was playing for the Cubs, and he would make some amazing catches, and he would get on base and run the base as well, but he never really got a shot, and I think largely that's because in Chicago – high on base percentage and good defense doesn't really get you very far. But at the same time, I mean, this was a guy who seemed still like a prototypical fourth outfielder. And he has just been absolutely amazing over these past few weeks. And I actually had a piece on Fangraphs on Wednesday about him, talking about how, honestly, we don't know exactly how good his defense can be, how many runs it can save the team. But there's a good chance that he could be a legit everyday player, at least until we get somebody like Desmond Jennings who can come up and be a superstar. But, I mean, it's been amazing. It's been an incredible revelation in the wake of Manny Ramirez leaving to have Sam Fuld step in like this.
Right. That was going to be my point, especially we know how Joe Maddon likes to cycle, you know, the bench players through. So I think if Fuld had even shown enough, if Manny was still here, Fuld would have shown enough as a fourth outfielder to get some everyday playing time.
Mm. Eric?
Not much else to add now, I guess. It's great while he's, here and everything, but, just can't, keep up for this long. You know what I mean? It's not, this good, but I'm great and bought last. It's awesome.
I mean, let's hope he can keep it up long enough to reach his May 29th promotion when the club is now handing out the Sam Fuld super capes that are replacing the Manny bobblehead. We hope this isn't a Jason Tyner situation. We got to look at, like, okay, you've got 6 weeks. You got to hope. But the thing is, I mean, as Bradley said earlier, you know, he never had the opportunity in Chicago because they don't appreciate things like getting on base and playing defense well. So, yeah, that's why he fits well here.
Well, the Cubs, do, I guess, but they've got two guys there that get paid way more than he does.
Mm-hmm.
Lucadome and what's his name? And Soriano, so.
Well, I mean, that's part of it, but it seems like Fuld didn't get a lot of opportunity to be a defensive replacement, pinch runner.
No.
You know, obviously, he's not a full-time – I really don't want to see him overexposed in full-time play because I think there, he has his strengths. Obviously, the base running has been tremendous, and his defense has been unbelievable. Last night when it was Zobrist in right field, Upton in center, and Fuld in left, I don't think you could ask for a better defensive outfield. Maybe in the American League right now, but definitely what's on the 25-man roster, because that's going to cover a lot of ground. And when we still got, Shields with his fly ball tendencies, Niemann with his fly ball tendencies when the balls stay in the park, those types of things, having that kind of outfield defense is going to be critical. Well, on that note, now that we're talking about Fuld, let's jump over to the prospect side. Since I said, who's on the 25-man roster now, obviously we kind of glossed over the fact that Desmond Jennings was not promoted or Robinson Chirinos was not promoted when Manny Ramirez lost the bat. So let's take a jump down and look at the Durham Bulls right now. And Kevin, since you follow these guys closer than the rest of us, tell us what your early impressions are.
Well, so far the big ones have been the two outfielders, Guyer and Jennings. Guyer, let's see, I got the box score right now. He's 3-for-3 with two doubles today. He's hitting .385. Jennings just came in as a replacement. He's hitting .348. And then on the other side of the coin, Chirinos, who hit so well in the spring, he's hitting just .040. He's got one hit, I think, this year. And he's been striking out a lot. I'm not sure how his defense has been. I think it's been solid. I haven't noticed a lot of stolen bases against him. But those have been the three big guys. And then, of course, Jose Lobaton, is hitting .615.
Hey, not only is he hitting .615, he's hitting cleanup tonight.
That's right.
He is Eddie Cleo tonight. In fact, him and Brandon Guyer are 7-for-7 in this game tonight. This was a game that was started as a matchup of the Garfus and Jake Peavy. Peavy was chased, and Lucas Harrell is in now, and Lucas Harrell is getting his brains beaten in.
Yeah, I saw they just took the lead. They also got Russ Kanzler, who came over. He wasn't in the Garza trade, but he came over as a free agent from the Chicago organization. He's been hitting well early for Durham as well.
That would be the Russ Kanzler from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, no?
That's right. There Joe Madden's hometown.
Trivia. It's always a good way to brown nose to the boss. Along that, now, you know, how do we talk to the fans that are upset / butthurt at the fact that Desmond Jennings wasn't called up? What's your argument? If you need to be the other side of this argument, why it's a good reason that Desmond Jennings is still down in AAA, what do you tell those fans?
Well, I saw R.J. Anderson tackle this, the process report. It's with the service time and that stuff. And also last year, if you look at his numbers with Durham, he wasn't really that good. He was coming off a wrist injury, sprained his wrist in spring training. So I think they're giving him time to sort of settle in at the AAA level and have some success before they call him up.
I was talking on Twitter with Tommy Ransel just a little while ago, and he was just saying that development is greater than everything else. Ultimately, that's all that matters. If Jennings isn't ready, he's not going to be pushed up to the major league level. That's just not the way the front office has been operating since 2005.
How do you compare that to – we look at the league, you know, Michael Pineda was made the Mariners right out of camp. I mean, to me, they're sacrificing – pardon me – they're sacrificing that year of service time for a team that obviously is not going to
win. What? Yeah, that's crazy to me. You know, with this team here, you know, we wouldn't do that. And with this, with the jam and everything that that we have here, there's no way we would ever do that. So I don't know, why Jack up there would do it for the mayor. It doesn't make. I don't know.
Well, I think Seattle had to get somebody else besides Felix for fans to be excited about, because there's not a whole lot going on up there.
They can't wait too much. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. I mean, as the fantasy baseball player, I'm loving it because I took Michael Pineda in two leagues simply for the strikeouts, and he actually looked very good last night. I couldn't sleep, so I stayed up and watched about half the start on my iPad app, and he looked darn good. But, you know, speaking of prospect issues, I just saw a note on Twitter here that Matt Moore's line score tonight, 4.1 innings pitched, 10 base hits, 6 runs, no walks, that's good news, and 5 strikeouts. But as, you know, most of us know, if we follow Matt Moore, it's April. This is what he does in April.
Well, he definitely, last year, his BABIP was pretty high. Brad, we will appreciate that one. Mm-hmm. In April and May, and it came down. But I wonder if with no walks over two games, if he's maybe being in the strike zone too much and trying too hard to put it over the plate, and that could lead to the hits. And I mentioned this in the D-Rays Bay thread. Tennessee came in with like a 981 OPS. They hit really well early in the season.
Whose farm club is that this year? I know these guys move around all the time.
Yeah, that's the Cubs. They got Brett Jackson, Josh Vitters. They have some decent
hitters. Oh, yeah, I saw Josh Vitters when he was with Daytona last year with that. So, yeah, I mean, with Matt Moore, I actually did a fantasy article about Matt Moore for RotoWire yesterday, and I talked about, you know, historically, like you said, his BABIP, I think it was like 380, 372, something like that in the first 2 months of the season. So that was one of the issues that he had. But everything else was there. Once he gets June 1st, it's like lights out for the opponents, because he just dominates the final 3 months of the minor league season. But is this a case where you think Matt Moore is going to stay down in the Southern League all year, or is this going to be like how it was with, Jake McGee got promoted up towards the end of the year in the past? Wade Davis was also bumped up to AAA towards the end of the season. How do you think they're going to handle him?
Well, I think it will. If it happens, it'll happen later in the year. They definitely want to get him a full level. I know they got Jeremy Hellickson a full year over two different seasons there. I think Wade Davis had a full year there. So they like to get their starting pitchers a full year at that level. But if he's absolutely dominating, if he's striking out 13/9, I don't see how they can't send him up to Durham.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was looking at. If the season doesn't go well, if people are already talking about James Shields possibly being traded, if he's traded, if they decide to move a different direction with Niemann, obviously you've got the Alex brothers down there in AAA. That's one of the things.
But Chris
Archer. You've got Archer and Moore. So they've got four guys they eventually have to make room for here. within the next 24 months, and you've got Davis locked up, Helic under long control. Cross your fingers that Price signs a deal. There's three, so that's there's two spots for four guys. It's that's what I'm watching over the next 2 years myself, because I want to see this competition, because that's a lot of talent there, especially with Archer, Moore, and Torres. Those are three quality arms that other organizations would be killing for right now.
And I think eventually we'll have to see them trade some pitching, which is where their depth is at the upper levels, for some bats. Because outside of the guys we talked about, Jennings, Guyer, and maybe Chirinos, there's not really many bats at the upper levels. And you got Tim Beckham at AA, but he's only 21. You have to figure that they're going to slow him down at some point. So I think we'll see a trade for some batting, or at least they'll look into it.
Yeah, you know, I got on that note, though, I did see something earlier. Tom Hardrecourt's the beat writer for the Milwaukee Brewers for one of their papers, and he made a comment that the Brewers organization is paper thin at shortstop at the upper levels. And obviously, I mean, also,
not enough for him.
Yeah, I mean, the entire system is paper thin. Milwaukee has no prospects anymore. They gave them all up. But one of the things there is, they've got Matt Gamble, a bat at the Rays, and the Rays are very thin for hitting prospects. You see some kind of matchup within an organization where the Rays could offer some of the pitching prospects, or even a shortstop prospect. I can't stomach the thought of trading a former number one overall pick to a guy that can't play defense. But do you think there's some kind of matchup between the Rays and the Brewers where they could help each other out in that regard?
Well, with the Brewers system, like you said, there's really not a whole lot there. So it would sort of depend at what they're willing to trade. I'm honestly not too familiar with their system, being as shallow as it is. One guy that would have been nice to have was Brett Lawrie, who's in Toronto now for Sean Markham. He's a guy who maybe doesn't really have a defensive home, but he can flat out hit, and that's sort of the type of guy the Rays need right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Brett Lawrie was a guy I really liked. I was really surprised when they made that deal, but obviously they were going for it this year, so it was a nice benefit for Toronto. But yeah, their prospects, they're gone. When they made their deals, that's all they had left. They really have nothing. So it's going to be curious to see what they're going to do, and maybe if they let Fielder walk as a free agent, recoup those draft picks. But it's an interesting situation how they've taken what Zach Zerendick built up before he left, and it's already all gone within 2 years. Kind of crazy. Well, to wrap things up, I'd like to go around to each one of you, and each one of you talk about something that you're looking for out of the Rays over the next – figure we're going to talk this time next week. So let's say over the next five or six games, what's one thing that you're looking at that you want to see somebody do or somebody stop doing that's been driving you nuts? Eric, we'll start with you.
Watch how he does – back at home, there's two teams here that can crush the ball, really. The Twins aren't terrible at it, and the White Sox can do that, obviously. Just want to see how he can rebound from his two games that have not been good for him.
Agreed. Kev, what about you?
I'm looking at Matt Joyce, who hasn't really gotten off to a good start, and it's at the point where he needs to be playing every day, and the Rays need to see if he can play every day, if he can hit left-handed pitching. And I know that he's hit into some bad luck, he's hit some balls hard, but he's one of the guys who needs to start hitting, and over the rest of the season, and especially right now, to sort of get onto a hot streak and see what the Rays need to see what they have with him.
Yeah, as the official sponsor of his baseball reference page, I completely agree with you on that, because I have been his proud sponsor. I picked up his page for the low price of $10 last year, so much to the chagrin of RJ, who was quite pissed at me for snaking that one from him. But Bradley, what about you?
Well, I'm going to go with a dark horse candidate here, and I'm going to say I'm looking for Jeff Niemann to either do really well this coming week, or for the Rays to trade him and call up Dirk Hayhurst, who I would be remiss without mentioning tonight. He went six innings with the Durham Bulls and struck out seven, allowing one run and out-dueling Jake Peavy. So Dirk Hayhurst for the rotation, everybody.
That's gorgeous. That would be He was very entertaining during spring training. He was obviously quite bummed when he did not make the team, but it's good to see that him go down there and take care of, do exactly what the club needs him to do down there to be ready to take that next step if something were to happen. Niemann's concerned me. I wrote up a couple of days ago about how he's pitched over the last 80 innings, with a home run rate of almost two. I think he's at 192 for a home run rate. Something's not right. I don't know if it's he's not getting the ball down enough. You know, he said his mechanics were fine in Chicago. Madden was just the opposite. I didn't get a chance to look see it, what his pitch usage is between the first half of last year. But since July 1st, he is not even he's been below replacement level. High home run rate, high walk rate. He's only stranding 61% of his runners, so he's not doing himself any favors. And 21 of the last 23 guys that have tried to steal a base off him when he's on the mound have succeeded. So these guys are getting on base and getting in the scoring position, which is what part of this problem is.
Mm-hmm. And I am correct to say he's out of options, right? So he's stuck at the major league level.
You are correct. He is out because he had that major league deal early on that kind of killed him. But you know, my thing I'm looking for, I need to see Ben Zobrist make some more contact. It seems like he's been striking out a lot. I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but he's hitting in the middle of the lineup right now with Longoria out, you know, with the hole that Ramirez created and whatnot. So he needs to make a little more contact. You know, it finally worked his way. The Luck Dragons got out of the way when he hit that little bleeding double down the third base line the other day. And I thought he looked terrific playing right field defense last night. He made a very key catch there late in the game. But you know, then again, if he plays right field, that means our boy Matt Joyce can't. So that's one of the things to consider. But that's what I'm looking at. I want to see Zobrist. He looked really good in the Baltimore series, hit that home run opening night, you know, hit the ball that Nick Markakis caught. So he was driving the ball better in that series. But since then, it seems like everybody's doing what they did to him last time, is pitched junk off the plate away, and he's had to adjust and hasn't been able to hit anything with authority.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up. It's right about the time limit I wanted to look at so we can start playing with the software here. But I want to thank you guys for coming on short notice. And everybody listening in, if you liked it, we'll take requests for next show. We're hoping to do this you know, on a consistent basis at least once a week so we can get this thing, get it up in the iTunes and push it up so it's at the top of the Rays blogosphere for podcast, while at the same time not trying to steal any of the shtick that Kevin Goldstein and Jason Parks do in their podcast, because they seem to be the podcast of all podcasts. And if you try to take any of their shtick, they will tell you about it. So we'll make sure we're not going to do that. But
when he says take requests, he means send in songs for Bradley to play on his recorder.
Oh, totally. I mean, the recorder music and the guitars that Bradley was jamming on before we started this, we're definitely going to have some sweet hold music or some, you know, transition music, bumps, whatever you will. We'll get it on. But anyhow, thanks for tuning in. It's Jason, signing off for Brad, Kevin, and Eric. We'll talk to you guys next week.